Hello and welcome to the Red or Dead podcast, season 2, episode 2. This week, joining me, Maria, we've got Suki Bogle.
Hey.
And Dre.
Hello.
I thought you were going to say your second name then.
Dre what?
Because normally we say Andre, and I suddenly thought, oh, I've called him Dre again a bit informal. What's going on?
Sorry everyone if I my voice sounds terrible. I've got proper flu, man flu, full effect. I'm shivering, feeling sorry for myself, and writing out a will, all of that stuff. Without the COVID, thank God.
But at least you're wearing a Liverpool
top. Nice uplifting start to the podcast there.
The thing is, I mentioned that, because I want everyone to show inner strength, mental strength to carry on through. Even though you don't want to do it and you're like, oh my God, I'm shivering and I could deal with a quilt around me. You carry on, you push through for your friends.
A nice uplifting motivational message there, Dre. Thank you.
Yeah, should we change from a Liverpool podcast to a motivational speaking podcast?
That's the next thing.
Join hands now and Suki, moving on. How's your week been? How are you doing?
Well, I'm going to try and be positive. I'm all right. I mean, can't complain at the moment. I've actually got nothing to report this week. I've not done a lot. I'm actually crazy busy this summer.
No parties?
I actually had plans in London. I was meant to have a sports day, but Hang on a minute.
Did you just say you were meant to have a sports day?
Yeah, so...
Sorry, how old are you?
Please explain. Every August, we a group of friends just have an old school like type sports day.
Egg and spoon.
Yeah, literally. So egg and spoon, sack race, wheelbarrow race, three legged race, game of rounders. We sort of do it every year and done it for the last few years. And this year's one was on Saturday, but I've just been so busy lately. Where I've got plans sort of every week, I just needed a weekend off, so I didn't actually end up going to London.
Did they do it without you?
Yeah, there's like 30 of them, so
it carried on. Wow, yeah, that sounds really
well. Maybe we could have one with their Red or Dead.
We should do one. Maybe you can join on to this one next year.
Can you imagine?
just to warn you, I get super competitive.
I think the most competitive people will be, you know, Suki, Cass. I don't think I'm that competitive.
No. I'd just be like, I'd just look on and
you'll be like, oh, you win.
Okay, boys. Dre, you didn't come last. You actually was one of the top runners up. Well done. And it's the participating that counts.
Maria would definitely be like the comforting parent.
can I ask you guys a question?
I really wouldn't.
I was going to ask you guys a question. You know, in the Olympics, because I'm still trying to get my head around this, there was a point where two people shared the gold medal.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
That's right.
The high jump, wasn't it, or long jump?
Yeah, I think it was a high or long.
One of the jumping things, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, hold a second. Like friendship and all that stuff, that's nice. But the whole point of the Olympics, the longest running competition I've ever known, that anyone's ever known, has been a gold, silver, and bronze. So how can you just decide that, oh, we're both going to share? Like you actually defeating
they
the whole.
They left it to them, didn't they? They said they could either keep going and whoever, you know, like a sudden death kind of thing, or share it.
Yeah, but you can still be friends to
share
after.
It. They decided they wanted to share it.
Yeah, but
it
should be their decision. Like, I don't get that. It doesn't mean that you're a dud if you finish set, you know, silver. The other person's is better. You see, this is
nobody
why
nobody goes
why
to come second.
It's because of people like you. That's why. It's because of people like you. I'd be a fair sportsman and say, you know what? All right, we both did well. Congratulations for both of us. Maria would be like, nah, you lost.
So I don't know how they did it. At what point did they decide to offer it?
I don't understand. Like, why did it? How could it be a draw? Surely you. Because the other event was about. There was something to do with like another
and
event
timing as well.
Start or something.
Okay.
Yeah. You only got a certain amount of time they can do. But then the day is that they could have just done one more, and then whoever won won.
But well, what about if they got the same thing on the next one?
I don't know. I watched it in disbelief, and when I saw it happening, because obviously they're switching to something else going on as well, and I was like, wait a minute. Are they actually just having a discussion about sharing it? Suzuki showing us his sports day, and it's like there's a lot of people there.
It looks like a sixth form kind of thing that six formers have got together.
It is real like secondary school vibes.
I do respect that. Suzuki's life is completely different to mine, and I have no friends at all who do anything like that, and it makes me question my friendships with people, why they're not as fun.
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know what? We've just said that
publicly. You do realize? Yeah.
Let it be known.
Shots fired to all of Andre's friends. Lift up your game.
Yeah, lift up your game. You've got to be like. I want my friends to be like Suki's friends who actually do.
What Red or Dead Sports Day it is then?
We're gonna have to do that.
Eggs and spoons ready and sack race.
So wait a minute, you guys do a sack race as well?
Yeah, literally egg and spoon, sack race, three-legged. There's a backwards one, the funny one is to throw the egg, because obviously you have to get further away So you, two people, you got to throw the egg to each other, and then when it breaks, you're out. And then the last
one. I wouldn't like that, because I'd end up with like, ooh.
I remember the egg and spoon one. And then
I've never heard about throw the egg. This is like a grown-up.
I do remember is a parents' race as well. And there was always like some uber competitive parent who's just like
he was actually really good.
Who's just like going for it. Do you remember God bless her soul?
Princess Diana.
The Princess Diana. She weren't having it, man. She was not having it. She was
she was incredible.
He was just like, "Did you see it?" And she had enough.
She was like,
here.
"Move out of the way."
She's like, "No." And then you could see, like, maybe Secret Surfers was looking at the rest of those guys, like, "You know what? You chill out. Let her win." Like, because you saw a few of them. Like, one of them was like, really, if you look back at the footage, one of them was going for it, like really going for it. And then Princess Di started going into another level, and then suddenly that one that like kind of slowed down, because I reckon Secret Surfers was like, "Listen." If they got Secret Service or whatever they got, Royal Guards were like, chill. Yeah. I must say, I've been one of them, it was William and Kate, went past us going towards Buckingham Palace. And that's the first time I've ever seen the Royal Police as such. And they do not mess around. So they stopped all the traffic. And as they're going past, they've got this Land Rover Discovery, and then it's got like "Do not follow" the signs going across, like neon.
Really?
And then they've got a guard who's like kind of like watching. Yeah, they're not playing in any form of way. So it's going down the mall.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, they were going down the mall, and then they took a left. So it was definitely one of those. But yeah, there you know. Don't follow.
We learn something new every day. Thank you, Dre. So moving on to the events of the week. Now, before we plow into all our the match and everything else that's been going on, I also wanted to mention the Andrew Devine, the 97th victim of Hillsborough, who sadly lost his life a few weeks ago. And it's been announced that his name will be added to the memorial at Anfield, and that the number on the back of the shirts would also be changed. So another sad bit of news, but, you know, hopefully memory will live on. This will never be allowed to happen again. So just wanted to mention that before we move on. So on to the news of the week and what's been going on. We had, let's start with the match. So we had all the fans back, full capacity, back at Anfield for the first time since, gosh, it feels like, well, it was years ago, wasn't it? was years ago. It's not even a lie. Since, obviously, COVID times, so it was amazing to see the whole crowd, a whole crowd at a football match, not at Anfield. I think I said it was at Anfield. It was not at Anfield, obviously. So back at Norwich. And we had a win, which was fantastic. Actually, you know, we need to talk about our predictions and who got things right and who didn't get.
Yeah,
so I don't think any of us got it right, but we'll move on. We got the result right.
Result was right.
Yeah, we all said the win.
Trying to make sure everyone wins, everyone scores. It's just like, come on, man, just shoot.
Like, get on with it.
Yeah.
We all got the. We all predicted a win. I don't know who came closest, but I think, I mean, me and Suki said 3-1, which was pretty close. I'd say me and Suki won, actually. So, you know,
I would say that as well. Yeah.
I would. Yeah. I'd say that. Everyone else was like 4-0, 5-0.
We got the right number of goals scored.
4-0.
Exactly. We got the right number of goals.
Maybe. I said 4-0 because I got faith in my defense and my keeper. Unlike you lot, I knew that they would not penetrate our walls. But yeah, nonetheless,
we were just being real. We were basing it on what we'd seen from last season. We had to be a little bit, you know, cautious, realistic.
But no, Salah was trying to be careful.
To be fair, it was Alisson's amazing save, which kept
it was.
That's what I mean. I literally wasn't even moved by that because I expect that from him. That's what it is.
Because he's your keeper, right? So, Suki, do you want to run us through the lineup and the goings on in the match?
Yeah, so I think maybe it was Ellie that called it. There was Milner in midfield with Ox and Naby, and then at the back we had Big Verge back and Matip, and obviously Tsimikas replacing the injured Robbo, and then front three was Josh instead of Bobby to start. I think that's exactly how Ellie called it, actually. I thought we played really well. I thought Ox wasn't in the game as much, but I thought that was unfair on him because without Fabinho, he is trying to do a lot of the defending, and I don't think that was the right position for him. I think Ox is better when he attacks, when he drives the midfield forwards. I thought Naby did a really good job. Salah just looked unbelievable again. Like, he just is so consistently good for us, consistently our best player. Mane looks good, I thought, as well. So, obviously, lost a bit of faith in him towards the end of last season and we weren't really sure what was happening, but he looked like he's going to be back to his normal self. And Jota got the goal, but I wasn't that impressed with Jota. I didn't think he could get into the game that much. And actually, when Bobby came on, showed me why we go for Bobby over Jota. But Bobby, I think Bobby links up the midfield a lot better and then sort of integrates Salah and Mane a bit more into the game. And obviously, glad that Bobby got the goal. And hopefully, Bobby can get more goals this season as well.
I was really happy for Bobby, actually, that he scored.
Same. And do you know what?
Like, he really needed that.
Salah was really unselfish throughout the game. He passed at the right moments constantly. Yeah. And it made us look like a better team.
Mm. And I think Salah was waiting, though. He was waiting for his moment because he also knew he obviously broke the record.
Oh, yeah, what a record.
Successive Premier League starts, goals in start first matches. That was brilliant. And he knew he was waiting for that. He knew it. And it was a beautiful goal as well. So he did it with style, which is really good.
It seemed like a bit at the start. I think it seemed a bit rusty or like,
I was worried. I think I even said it on our group. Yeah. I was like,
The thing is that, like, I wasn't worried about them doing anything because I'm completely confident because of our defense is back, and you know, Tsimikas is doing really well. So like, he's not, you know, he's performing Robertson-esque, like. So for me, I feel that there's a lot of pressure on the midfield. I mean, I was disappointed that when I saw Milner starting, not that I think he's rubbish, but it's just, I think me and Suki in particular kind of want, you know, him to be moved on a little bit more. But I mean, he did a stellar job. But the problem is that, as we were discussing with about Ox. It takes away from Ox's game. Whereas, like, if he was on, if Fab was on when he came on, he literally just like changed the game, and we went up a different level. Yeah, you saw the level of you know what the difference is between the two, and then there's another level to come back when you know you've got Hendo and you've got you know Thiago to come back as well. But I feel that Ox has to cover a little bit more ground and feels that he has to defend a little bit more and go a bit deeper. Yeah. And I think that that's taken away from what he's there for. And I think that Naby is fine to be able to do the whole, like, you know, covering and link play and things like that. And I think that Ox is, like, there to join up with the attack. And that wasn't happening because he had to cover for Milner. Not that Milner's a poor player.
I do like Milner, though. I do think we probably should be using him less just because of his age now, because going forwards he offers us less, but actually when he does play he does a solid job defensively, and actually defensively we look more solid with him in the side when somebody like a Hendo's not playing, because we do lack that captaincy when Hendo doesn't play. And I think that's why he went for Milner, because Milner does give you that. I remember when Tsimikas made a mistake at one point in the second half and Milner just sort of had a go at him, which I quite enjoyed. I think he ran the most out of anybody.
He slapped, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think Milner, in the amount of time he was on the pitch up until that point, he covered the most distance out of all 22 players on the pitch. So he does work hard for us.
It's just a clear night and day's difference between him and Fab. And when Fab comes on, he just covers so much ground, almost like Gandalf, thou shalt not pass, as we put in our little group. And he allows everyone else to be able to just go forward and attack, because you know you've got someone there who's just loves to defend. I mean, he's very capable of scoring. He loves, you know, supporting the defenders, and as well like the fact that we've got. For me, I wasn't hyped about about Virgil coming back as much as I was Matip coming back. I really like Matip. I think Matip is so underrated. And it's just because of his injury, you know, record. It's like it just that lets him down. But I do remember that when we won the Champions League, like it was them two, you know, who won it. You know, so
I think if he wasn't as injury prone as he was, I think he'd be up there in the conversation as one of the best defenders in the Premier League. I think I saw something on Instagram over the weekend which said something like, "Out the last 37 games, Matip has started, we've only lost one of them." And that was even with last season.
And the thing is, coincidentally, remember when we was going on our run at the start of the year, and I think that's when we was beating Palace and things like that, and then it was looking like, you know, we could easily win the league back. But it's when he got injured, and that was like the final straw, you know, of domino effect, and then that was the end of our title run as such straight away.
Yeah. I think we lost six in a row after that at Anfield.
This is where it comes back to as well. Like I looked to the bench and I was thinking, okay, well there's also players to come back, as I said, Hendo and Thiago to come back as well. But like the bench is not weak in any form of way. You know, defensively, we do need, and it was apparent to me. I mean, Jota just tired out towards the end, and then they play him in the middle. And as I said before, if you've got no link man there, then he's just pretty much on his own. And I think obviously as a link man, Bobby came on and you know does Bobby things. But then do remember he came on with Fab, so if Bobby had to play with Milner, it'd have been a different game. You see my point? So Fabinho makes such a massive difference. And then obviously when Hendo's back, if Fab's out, then you have Hendo who can do the same similar type of thing. So it makes a massive difference. So that's why I do want us to get an attacker. You know, Shuki and I always disagree about that Jared Bowen, but I think we need someone like that. I really am impressed with people like him, but Shuki doesn't like him at all.
No, I have no interest in Bowie.
I mean, before we move on to transfers and non-transfers and non-signings, was there anyone in particular that you thought stood out the other day on the match? Was there anyone that you thought, wow, yeah.
Salah. Jesus, that man's just amazing. Like, I must say this, I think we've been spoilt for a long period of time where we can even have debates about who's our favourites. Like, it's him. Mm. Like, he is the best attacker you know, if not player that we have. You know, he is like, the more that the game went on, you know, he had a close volley in the first half, I believe it was. He almost scored. Then the goal that he actually scored from the corner, and then him setting up, you know, incidentally, like him setting up with Jota by, not by luck, but just, you know, just he had to challenge for it to actually be there. That wasn't purposely done. But then the setup with Bobby was just delicious.
And, so, and like, there's another moment where he went, after when we're 3-0 up, he went to pass when he probably should have shot to himself.
Mane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was cursing more than anyone else because then I was like, here's my prediction, spot on. But yeah, he was trying to bring Mane into it. Mane was good though. Mane was good as well. But, you know, and Tsimikas was very good. And so he started tying out towards the end. He was really good. And then obviously Alisson. Virgil's going to take time. Like, that's what I noticed. He's rusty.
He's not quite himself yet, is he?
No. No, when is it? Pukki or whatever his name is, came.
Pukki.
Yeah. When he went through, and then De Virgil had to just turn around and run. Like, he wasn't like hell for leather running as he normally is. It's just like, all right, someone else will cover. But that could be because he's got Matip there.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's just a time thing. I mean, he said himself that he still needs a bit of time. So hopefully that'll improve as the season goes on. So moving on a little bit. So we're talking about signings and Boeing, as Dre keeps mentioning. There's been quite a bit going on this week. No new signings. However, we have had contracts renewed, which has been absolutely fantastic to see and really, really important for the stability of the team. Suki, what are your current thoughts on the renewals and where do you think this transfer window is going? Is anything, what do you think anything's going to happen?
I hate that we're talking about renewals. No, it's obviously great that we're renewing these contracts and showing loyalty and trying to get our big stars staying at Liverpool. Obviously, that's huge because we can't underestimate the importance of the likes of Virgil, Mo, Hendo, Fab at the club. So it's so important doing that. But it's just not the exciting stuff you want to hear about, is it? I want to hear about a new signing. I feel we're short on an attacking player, and I feel we need two, but I'd take one. I want either an attacking midfielder or an attacker that's going to get us goals. But yeah, no, obviously great that we're keeping these players, and it's going to be important going forwards, especially when you've got the other team strengthening. But yeah, it's just making me a bit jealous at the moment, where you see the likes of Chelsea signing Lukaku, you see United getting Sancho and Varane, and you see City getting Grealish. I'm not sure if they're going to get Kane, although we'll talk about City in a moment. But yeah, I kind of just feel I really would like that Belgian attacker. Is it Doku? He really impressed me in the World Cup. I wouldn't mind him. I think he'd offer us something different. Just to appease Dre, Alan Saint-Maximin was amazing for Newcastle on Sunday.
My guy.
He is unbelievable.
If we're looking actually for someone who's going to bring something, a different option, I feel it's definitely him. I think you're looking at someone who can potentially, if you were to get someone like him, be a replacement for Bobby. Because he comes deep, he's a playmaker as well as he can be very comfortable on the ball, fast. Like, he's just like really like pretty much everything we kind of really looking for. So I'm shocked that no one's actually gone for him.
Carry on.
No, I disagree about Bowen. The reason why I say with Jared Bowen is because I feel that he's a very fast, energetic striker or attacker who can play on both sides, and it will give us options. And I'm thinking of, you know, when the African Cup of Nations come back. I've never know how to pronounce the thing. Is it AFCON?
AFCON.
So it's AFCON.
Something different. Hey, African.
AFCON. Sorry. People are going to ask me about this. People will be like, and you're black and you're supposed to know this stuff.
well, I mean, just like, you know, phonetically and stuff. It kind of makes sense.
AFCON.
It's a synonym.
It's an AFCON, like the auriculator for...
That's why I say the whole thing. That's why I say the whole thing. People are going to be like, what the hell has that got to do with Liverpool? What's AFCON got to do? What have Liverpool done? No, I think it's because we're obviously going to lose Mane and Salah. So that does worry me. So I've got faith in them, not that they've got a plan, that because it just wouldn't make sense to be able to leave us exposed like that. So therefore I'm hoping, obviously with the renewals, where I'm really, really happy about, you know, players actually wanting to stay with us, which, right, you know, in my lifetime, I haven't seen so many players just happy to renew and stay, where it's always been like Liverpool has been the stepping stone to go to Barcelona, Real Madrid or wherever. But I think obviously now, due to the climate, where clubs can't come up, and Real Madrid and Barcelona broke. So the PSG and Man City have Chelsea got the money. So therefore it's just like, if you look around as a player, like, you know, you're in a squad that's actually very competitive and actually can challenge and, you know, will be there or thereabouts when it comes to, you know, the league and Champions League this season. So yeah, it's all good, but yeah, we definitely need at the very least an attacker, you know, before this transfer window has ended.
Great, you keep throwing Coutinho out there to me. Talk to us about
Would absolutely love for Coutinho to come back.
I heard today he's got, well, I don't know if this is true. I think there's some deal they're trying to do some deal with him going,
Fabrizio,
someone
his
else.
Name is,
was it a Romano?
Fabrizio, here we go, man. Said, no, that's not happening.
Oh, it's not? Oh, okay. Well, you never know.
Yeah. Fabrizio, here we go, man. Said, no.
I'd take Coutinho back, but I don't think Klopp would.
Sorry, we've got a bit of a gap. We've got a bit of a lag here. Sorry.
Sorry, go on. We all stopped talking at the same time. Suki would take him back, but he doesn't think Klopp would.
No, I think Klopp will remember what he said.
the thing is that, like, if you just look at it realistically, you know, he hasn't really done that. You know, obviously Klopp did warn him to say, look, you know, you're just another bit part player there. If you win the league with Liverpool, you'll be a legend. And, you know, within the two seasons that happened from him leaving. So I think Coutinho, for me, it will be a person who's, you know, could come in and actually, you know, support the front three, and he can play across the front three as well. So I think that you're not getting just a person who's going to, you know, another clog in the machine of the midfield. I feel you're getting an attacker there with something to prove, because his reputation has gone down and down and down. You know, when he left us, he was like one of the best midfielders in the world. And then obviously he's gone there and he's just been hounded out, because obviously they've been spoilt with talent in Barcelona. So yeah, it would be nice if he's going to come. It's highly unlikely because of the wages and everything like that. But, you know, it would be nice if he could, because we saw what he could do when he was at Barcelona, Bayern Munich. You know, he hasn't lost anything. But again, I do think that the model that we're going to go for is going to be a young person who we're going to buy, who's under 25. And so that's why it will be like Doku or Jared Bowen, or it will be there's someone else we're looking at as well. I think it will be one of those guys. I don't think it's going to be anyone else, really than that.
There's rumours today about Haaland next summer coming, which is interesting, because at the moment he's not going anywhere, is he?
Apparently City are now, Noel Gallagher came out and said he hopes that he don't get...
Must be true then.
Yeah.
Oh no, come on, what did he say? I thought you were going to say he's come out to say that he knows. I'm like, wow.
He's saying he hopes City don't get Kane and just wait for Haaland next year.
They get Haaland.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. Look, you know, from a City point of view, and obviously, you know, we'll go back to us again, but from City point of view, it doesn't make any sense to be able to spend. If we're umming and ahhing about Coutinho coming back, and then we're getting back most likely for free or for a long-term loan or something like that, and he's had injury problems, Kane is the same. So I don't rate him the way that everyone else does. I think that the press have got this angle because they really want Kane to be this thing. You know, person who's won the English captain, who's won the Champions League, all that stuff that like Shearer had done, that they're championing him. But I don't see
I'd rather City get Kane over Haaland. I'd be more scared of Haaland.
Yeah, I
feel like Haaland is kind of like the future. If he comes in, he's the future. He's going to take over from our, you know, aging guys. He's the next one.
I think you have to reshape the whole of our attack if he's coming in. Two, I don't like his agent. I think his agent is acting, you know, on this tour that he was taking them on.
Oh yeah,
it's like
that's
really
right.
Distasteful. And then three, I think. I see Mbappe going, which will leave a space for Haaland in PSG. I don't think he's going to go to. I feel the wages that he's going to command is, you know, if we're trying to keep Salah, then why would we, you know, going to get someone who's going to most definitely, you know, beat his wages for sure.
I don't think we'll get Haaland, but I'm worried that City will get him next year.
I just don't see them. I think they've got to win something now. They've got to win the Champions League now, so they can't think next summer. So therefore they have to push the boat out to be able to get Harry Kane or someone else. So therefore it could be this summer that they could get him. Mm. You know, because in the day is that by Borussia Dortmund have to kind of look and think, okay, well if we don't sell him now for whatever money we're looking for, 110, 120, or whatever it is you're looking for, then you know, we're going to be losing him for 70 million next year because that's his clause. So therefore, I think that there's something coming. This will be, since Torres moved to Chelsea and then we got Andy Carroll, the most interesting transfer deadline day because I feel that everyone's waiting for the last minute. There's like a lot of brinksmanship going on and I feel everyone's just waiting to see, like, you know, can you afford to keep that player that you're holding on to? Because you know next year you're going to be losing that player for less. And I think
can't
Liverpool
see
doing
Dortmund
that.
Letting Haaland go this window. I can see Mbappe moving this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he'll go.
I think for players as well, I think that maybe it might be that. It might be like someone will come out with a deal, let's say a Barcelona, will come out with a deal and say, all right, okay, we're going to ship 2-3 players of your plus cash or whatever, or promise of cash over several years your way. And it'll be all Real Madrid have got players to be able to give away as well. You know, so like Eden Hazard could go and play with his brother there or something like that. You never know.
Hmm. It's interesting. I mean, I think the, I'll be interested to see what happens as the transfer deadline kind of is looming. But I do think like with the renewals at the moment, it does kind of go with what Klopp was saying at the end of last season, because he did say, he saw that there just needed to be some minor adjustments to the team, to the squad, and that they kind of had everything they need. So I think I think what they're doing is just strengthening the squad, making sure we've got who is needed to get on and do the job. And then hopefully it will be additions here and there that will plug those little gaps. And obviously the one that we need, as you were saying, is someone up front, and hopefully that's what's coming. Obviously my prediction last week, what was it, my little rumor did not come true of the big announcement. I didn't have a name, but I just said that there was apparently going to be, but I wasn't even sure of the date. I thought it was going to be on Monday, some big announcement that Liverpool are planning, but obviously a big announcement didn't
probably city council come. Was talking about some fun day that they were going to have.
Yeah, PSG booked the Eiffel Tower. Liverpool booked the Town Hall.
I saw everyone, a lot of people were making like sign-ins and stuff like that, like Haku signing. Yeah. And they were like, listen, we're not going to announce it now. It's probably done like 2 days
before.
Exactly,
I think Liverpool like to wait, don't they? And they just do it at a bit of a random time when there's nothing, when all the other stuff is gone. So,
see, the thing is that everyone has to be like, you know, take your fan head out, you know, off for a second and actually kind of think, you know, you don't want your club to end up like Barcelona. And that's the thing that kind of fears and makes me worried, gives me massive fears that, you know, if you're in a position of when you're overspending and you're spending on wages, like we are, I think, I mean, you know, Suki would tell me, I think we, if not the top, we pay one of the top wages in Europe, like across the board.
No. You know,
I think we do.
That again? We do what?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we pay some of the top wages.
No.
Because you know, remember, you've got to look at...
No, I think we do have one of the highest wage bills.
Because I think you're looking at, like, let's say, for example, PSG, the big earners are going to be three players, maybe four. But, like, everyone else is on, like, smaller wages, so it kind of levels things out. Because a lot of the players feel lucky just to be in a bloody team. But I think with ours, like, we're definitely one of the highest... You know, wage players.
We're fourth in the Premier League. So we're behind United, Chelsea and City.
Oh, I read something like what Dre's saying as well,
but maybe, I'm not sure what the exact stat was, but it is something about Liverpool but even having if we're the fourth, highest.
Then that's still high wage bill. It's not like everyone's playing for nothing.
No, it is, but there's a considerable difference between us and, say, United. We're 140 million estimated salary. United are 207. And look, I don't want to be like United. I don't want to be like City. I don't want to be like Chelsea. But I think there's players we obviously need to get rid of. There's the likes of Origi, who probably still need to go.
He'll be off soon, it seems.
We need to get rid of Shaqiri as well, just for Shaqiri's sake. I think he's too good of a player not to be playing.
I thought that was supposed to be something agreed, so I think that's going through.
Yeah, that's...
I think we haven't agreed.
Apparently,
personal terms have agreed with Leon, but we're not agreeing the transfer amount. We want more.
Yeah, they do like to get every single... That's the only thing I find a bit draining, is that you do need new blood on the bench. I think it's really encouraging that you've got Harvey Elliott on there. I was surprised that he came on when he came on, because I thought Tacky would have come on because he's played really, really well. And he's a lot faster than I thought, and he's a lot stronger now than he was before. Yeah, so I feel like with him, he's got to get some time. But Harvey Elliott, he's the one I've been like talking about for the last like two seasons since he signed. And he is, I feel... He's going to be like the gem. I feel that he's got it all. I feel personally, I think that he's a special talent, and I feel really excited to be able to see him blossom. But as I said, we do need to strengthen and get rid of Origi. You know, thank you for your service. You know, he's been really good.
Oh, hero.
You know, but it's just time.
There comes a time, doesn't there? And it's time for him to move on.
Yeah. Like the thing is now, you've got to look at it like, right, take away City, Chelsea and PSG, because it's like they've got endless amount of money and there's no restrictions for them to spend whatever they're spending. So it's not real football with them, like I feel personally. But I feel like with Man United, because obviously they've got history, you know, they're part of a rebuilding project. Mm. And as well, to be honest with you, like the way that they've spent their money, like obviously they're in some serious debt. So they're another one, like more like I can't look and compare Liverpool to the rest of those oil money company clubs. But with Man United, I don't want it. I don't want it to be like that. Like, they're spending money that they just haven't got.
But I agree. Look, we always we've gone into this debate however many times on this podcast over and over again. I agree with you. I don't want to be like a City, Chelsea, PSG, a United. But I do think there is a middle ground. And I think at the moment we're below where we need to be, below what's right. There's clubs smaller than us who have consistently outspent than us, and ignoring salaries, because obviously that's a separate issue. But just in terms of net spend, and I just don't think we're doing enough. And if I look at our squad, I know, Maria, you mentioned the Klopp comments about how we'll have some of these signing the injuries back and renewing contracts. My personal view is that our squad is weak compared to other teams. I'm glad we've got the likes of Harvey Elliott, and I'm sure he'll be unbelievable. Give him a season or two, he will be unbelievable. And I have faith in that, and he looked good. But I don't think we've got enough ready players to come on who can change a game. And I'm looking at the likes of, specifically, I don't think Nico's good enough. I do think we need to get rid of Nico. I don't, nothing against Nico. I think he'll do really well for another Premier League side, but I just don't think he's quite Liverpool level. And we've given him quite a lot of opportunity now. And I feel we need stronger right back coverage for Trent and somebody to challenge Trent a bit more. I know Konate can play there, but ideally you want an out and out right back who gets similar to what Tsimikas is doing for Robbo now, where I think Tsimikas is going to actually make Robbo play better. And I think that's where maybe Trent's poor dip last year maybe wouldn't have happened if he had a stronger right back, because Trent would have been dropped and we could have used somebody else a bit more. And same with Alisson. Yeah. I really like what's his name? Kelleher, but I don't think he's good enough to be number two. And Alisson actually does tend to miss quite a few games of each season. So I think we need a better second goalkeeper. I think midfield, actually, we've got quite a lot of depth now. When you think of the likes of, on the weekend, we didn't have Thiago or Hendo. Fab came off the bench. You've got Jones, obviously, I'm sure, who will get better. And then other players. But yeah, it's the attack as well. We need to get rid of Shaqiri and Origi, and I just think we need to.
Do you think it's just two more in? Do you think that then you'll be
in attack? I'd ideally want another strike. I'd like an outside striker if possible, and then an attacking midfield. But I know we're not going to get that this one. So I'd take one. I just want one.
Just one would be.
I just want one.
Would you take one that, like, if it's like a Doku or, you know, anyone else? It's going to be someone who can play across.
I'd take Doku. Just somebody who's going to allow us.
So if you just get one in,
yeah,
and it's an attacker, would you be a bit more like confident?
I'd be happy. Yeah, I'm still not. I'm not sure I'd still be FSG in, but
I'm not going to buy it.
I'd be happier. I do think we will get somebody before the end of the window. I think it'd be madness not to. I think everybody's talking about it. I think that was the first thing Redknapp mentioned at the end of the game on Saturday in the analysis. So I do think we'll get somebody in, but yeah, hopefully it's sooner rather than deadline day.
I think we're stronger than my take is this, is that I think when I look at who's coming in, who's coming back, we're a lot stronger than people think. And I think that there'll be, I like us being the underdog, or, you know, all these pundits, so-called, last season was just like, Liverpool's going to win it. And then, you know, if you have a terrible injury plagued season and you get all of those players back, then how are you weaker and you still finished third last season? So I don't really take much notice of what the pundits say, because at the end of the day, it just seems like they've got recency bias. So whoever buys the most players is the person who's going to win. And it's like, you still have to gel. And I think that's the advantage that we have of other people. Is that we have a team who everyone knows each other. Everyone, majority of players actually just know each other, the way that they play. Everyone's familiar. You know, everyone's got the same ethics. You know, when you looked at LFC TV, there's a bond between all of them and they all know each other quite well. But I think that is something that I think you can't underestimate. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that actually that's something really special and quite unique, I'd say, to Liverpool. They really do, you know, they gel as a team and they know each other and it feels really genuine. And I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but we were saying how nice it was to see, like, compared to last season and the end of last season. And I think we brought it up on the podcast. It was nice to see the players smiling again. And just happy, looking like they want to be there, they're ready, and they want to actually play. Towards the end of, like, it wasn't even towards the end of last year, it was kind of middle of the season last year, all of that disappeared. We didn't see, because Liverpool always known, you know, this happy squad, smiling, happy, you know, ready for it, and it was gone. Last season it had gone.
It was Klopp as well, it was right from the top last year, like you could see.
Yeah, it was just terrible. We were seeing sides of players we've not seen before, and I think that's gone now, and we've gone back to, you know, a mentally strong team who are ready to get on with it. And maybe we haven't spent as much as others, but I think I think this it's not enough, but it's definitely it's an advantage that Liverpool have got, that they've got that kind of mental strength and that bond behind them, and it really really shines through, and it really really shows.
I think it'll be interesting on Saturday.
No, I was just going to say it'll be interesting on Saturday to see how having the fans at Anfield.
Yes.
Because actually, I don't know if you noticed at the match the other day when I was watching, all I could hear was Liverpool fans. I could hear the others. I could hear all the Liverpool songs and chants. So it'll be interesting to see how much more lifted they get by the fans.
I can't wait.
It's going to be
incredible.
They're going to be really excited by this. I feel like definitely, I was going to say the same thing as you, like, you know, the fans made a massive difference, and some players kind of, you know, work off of the fans.
Yeah.
Bobby is 100%. Bobby,
you could see it straight away.
He's a showman.
Showmanship came out straight away.
Yeah, Salah is a person who obviously you're going to get the same effort with him, fans or no fans, but yeah, I feel like there's not that. Yeah, there's a happiness in the camp that I haven't seen in a little while, and that's my point. There's certain X factors I think that these so-called experts haven't actually spoken about, and familiarity and chemistry with your team is important. Like Chelsea, obviously after having the season, obviously you've got chemistry. You know, Man United, okay, cool. Like you bought some players, but let's see if Sancho kind of fits in as well as you think now. You beat a team that like doesn't know how to defend, so therefore like that beating that you gave Leeds is nothing really that impresses me. I want to see what you do against other teams. So I think also that you have other teams beating other teams as well. Look what happened with City.
Let's talk about the opening weekend then, and what the other teams were doing and how they fared, and what we think performance wise how they all got on.
The last thing I want to say actually on some of the other stuff was actually with Salah's game, actually, I think VVD makes such a big difference. Like every time Salah scores, VVD and Salah have a private, like little, their own special handshake.
They do. I don't know if you've noticed on Instagram this week. Was it on it? It might have actually been on LFC. No, it was on Instagram. They were posting, you know, they post the pictures from training and whatever. Yeah. The cuddles. The amount of cuddling that goes on in that team, but it's like Virgil, this giant man, cuddling all the little players when they're scoring. It's brilliant. It's quite heartwarming.
Him and Bobby.
But that's what it shows. They do that thing, and they go. With Salah, these big hugs and stuff, and you can see that they're genuinely happy for each other, and I think that's where. So like a team, obviously at the moment, like PSG, these big, big superstar egos. And we're already hearing of, you know, Mbappe being worried and this and the other. You're not going to have that kind. I mean, I know some of them are friends, but that kind of bond and wanting each other to do well, although they want the team to do well, I think it's not quite the same dynamic. So that's why I think Liverpool have got something quite special. And that's what. Of course they have. They have. I'm not saying they haven't got a team.
I saw that first game, Maria.
Egos, though, will be in play in a team like that. And that's where they've got to be careful, because they're treading, you know, there's going to be these kind of competing between them and all of that.
I was going to say, just before we go into the other, actually, it's kind of related to the City thing as well. Hmm. Here's why I think that we're going to be, and I said this in the chat, here's why I think that we've got to be, well, people can change their minds and put us up as one of the favourites. It's our style of play and then the new refereeing. So the new refereeing is letting things go. And it reminds me of like a few, God or Jesus, I don't know how many years ago, where it was like, we used to have like midfield hard men, used to have like, you know, tackling, that's allowed. Like, remember all of that crap that that City were allowed to do last year, where pretty much you're not allowed to tackle them, you're not allowed, you know, Sterling throwing himself on the floor every 2 seconds. So all of that crap that they do, done. Like, fingers crossed, it continues to be how it was before. And if you've got a team that's actually allowed to be physical, which Liverpool definitely are, and can mix it, like Liverpool definitely can, then that's where I think that we're going to, you know, City won't, I don't think City are going to win the league. I think City will come third. because I feel that they're not, unless they get a striker, they're not able to mix it. I don't think Kevin De Bruyne likes to be roughed up. Definitely Sterling doesn't like to be roughed up. He's getting roughed up by Tanganga.
Unbelievable for Tottenham.
Tanganga. That's my point. So that's where Tottenham might actually, because Tottenham have got players who can mix it. So I think if you've got a midfield that actually can, you know, play really nice, fluent, classy football, but then also, you know, can are not afraid to put, be able to put their foot in, like Hendo, like Fab. You know, oh boy, I hope Thiago can work out his timing better. But Naby's definitely
yeah, as long as he gets it back. Right, then
Bobby's
we're okay.
Definitely good at tackling back. So therefore, you've got Mane as well. So and nice obviously when Robbo comes back, you know, Virgil's definitely about that life as well. So therefore, you've got, you know, several captains and leaders in that team who are not afraid to be able to mix it up. And that's what City. That's where City lost the game, when Tottenham were mixing it up a bit more.
So who would you? Who, so you're saying you don't see City winning? Who would you say our main competition is this year for the title? Because I think we can do it, honestly. And I know you might think I'm crazy, but I truly believe that Liverpool could do it somehow. They could scrape it. Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea are the one I'm worried about most. I think unless City get a striker, I think Lukaku's just been unbelievable for Inter. He's obviously. What is it? I think, what did I say? That he had a digestive issue, which United didn't pick up, which Inter picked up. And it's basically just changed his game. Like he's lost a few stone. He's just in great physique and he's just been unbelievable for Inter. So yeah, I'd like to see, a lot of people are predicting him as the golden boot. So I'd like to see how I think he's playing this weekend against Arsenal.
But you see how they don't even, and this is where, like, and I've been watching a lot of these predictions. They never mention Salah in it. And I'm like, this man has been, for the last four seasons, you know, top scorer, or if not joint. So I don't
Salah will be up there. Salah missed out by one or two goals last season, having been in a god-awful Liverpool team stricken with injury. So you'd think with Fab Hendo back in midfield... He'll definitely be up there with hopefully Mane and Bobby playing better. So they're providing more assists to him as well and vice versa. Salah's going to be up there.
100%.
Yeah, well, look, I'm confident after seeing us play on the weekend. I don't want to get too excited because it was Norwich, a newly promoted
team. Yeah, of course. But even Norwich have something to prove. First game in the Prem. Sometimes it's those games that can... kind of knock you sideways.
Arsenal.
Well, exactly.
That's my point.
Should we talk a little bit about Arsenal?
We should.
Dre, I'm sure you've got quite a bit to say on the matter.
This is what I'm talking about. Them people, and they don't learn, and they keep coming out of these unrealistic like targets. They say, "Oh, we should just get this player. We should just get that player." It's like why? Let's say Awa. Like, I could be wrong, but why in heaven's name would he go from a team that plays in the Champions League to a team that's not even in Europe? Like, they seem to forget that the players actually have a choice themselves, and they think, I'd rather just stay exactly where I am.
Did Arsenal sign someone today?
They signed Odegaard, but it's like it's the same crap. I'm not going to go too hard on Arsenal at the moment because I just feel that they've got
going hard on Arsenal.
But I think, you know, it's like kicking a bloody horse that's down already. It's you know, the problem with them, I'll just be honest, right? They were and have been a holiday club for a long period of time. So they've been everyone's like retirement fund for a long time. So if you look at signing Willian, you know, you're shocked that he's going to be crap after a while. You sign. Aubameyang plays out of his skin for this contract as soon as he signs the ink ain't even dry and he just don't even score no more. Lacazette, like well past his prime, like no one would touch him. So it's like, I think that there's a problem culturally within that team and they need someone new to be able to come in who just doesn't give a shit about like the fans, what they say, the players. It's like a old school George Graham type of manager who's actually strict and doesn't care. I think he needs to be like a Klopp who literally comes in and says, look, this is how I'm doing things. You either get on board with my way of doing things or you get out. And he picks players based on their personalities. You know, we don't just like buy anyone. Like, you see how City would... sorry, guys, excuse me. My throat was a cough was coming. City couldn't just buy players. So City just buy players and just like, oh, this one doesn't, this right back doesn't work out. Okay, we'll buy another one. This goalkeeper doesn't work out, we'll buy another one. This left back doesn't work out, we'll buy another one. This midfielder doesn't work out. And they've just got a stack of players on the bench who are happy to be on those wages. We can't afford to do that. And I think and Arsenal can't afford to do that anymore. So I feel that them, Tottenham, have to change their way of doing things. And I'm really, really excited about Tottenham in particular because I really do think that Nuno could actually do a good job there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were great on their opener this weekend. Suki's gone.
But yeah, so let's talk about the other team, John. Should we start with Tottenham? Yeah, Tottenham were great. I'm happy for Tottenham as well. I'm obviously any time anybody beats City is always going to make me happy. So, but yes, Son, I'd take Son at Liverpool all day. He's so good.
Do you think he can fill the void?
Oh yeah, I think Son would be perfect for us with the way we play. He's probably a bit too similar to Salah, but he'd give you more goals outside the box.
I meant for if Harry Kane does go, do you feel that he can kind of carry the load? Oh. Because I was impressed with him. Who's the Dutch midfielder, the Dutch attacker that they've got as well?
Bergwijn. Really, I wasn't that impressed with Bergwijn.
I was impressed with his workload and him running there.
I don't think he's good enough for finishing.
They need an attacker, and this is the point. This is the problem. Is that, you know, people are saying, oh, Kane's going to go. Who are they going to get to replace him? You know.
I don't think they should let Kane go unless they have somebody else.
What is going on with Kane now? I haven't even heard the latest.
I think he's gone into training now, isn't he, today?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But if from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense for them to let him go this late now, unless it's for a ludicrous amount of money. So I hope...
Unless you've got someone lined up, but who is, you know... I'm trying to think of an actual striker. Like, if Danny Ings was in that team, I think Danny Ings should have waited to go to somewhere else, really, because I think he's going to be a bit wasted at Villa. I feel like if he was there on playing in that game, he would have scored 2 goals minimum.
Yeah, I don't think Son's enough. I think Son will need somebody else. I think Son will need help. I don't think Bergwijn's going to get them enough goals.
But Lucas was amazing. He should have been their man of the match.
Bergwijn?
No, Lucas.
Lucas Moura's unbelievable. Yeah. I think Lucas Moura's good, but I don't think they have enough. I don't personally. I think Son is obviously class. I think Son is better when Kane's playing though as well, but he can do it without Kane. Bergwijn is not clinical enough. Bergwijn, he has good play, but that chance where he was 1-on-1, he took an awful first touch and allowed Edison to come out to him. Yeah, I'm not worried about Tottenham this season, even if they keep Kane. But yeah, we'll see.
I think it'll be a better season for them, potentially. Hopefully.
Yeah, I do like Nuno. Nuno's great, so I think Nuno will do well.
Yeah.
I suppose that, like, I think Tottenham are missing, if they got a midfielder, another top midfielder, and then an out-and-out striker, I think then they'll be, you know, in business. I feel like they've had so much poison given to them by Mourinho, and I don't know why people hire him, because he just ends up being bitter and blaming the players, and players don't want to play for him. And but what I saw is that people make an effort. And what I saw was, I think personally, City were running that game for 15, maybe 17 minutes. Apart from that, it was all Spurs. From what I saw, I could be wrong. But as soon as Spurs turned it up a notch, then that was it.
Yeah. Which other teams?
There's United Leeds.
Sorry, my throat.
God, we're all suffering from colds here, by the way, people.
I don't really know. It's literally since we came on. We've been pressing mute through Zoom.
We've been pressing mute left, right, and center just to make sure that we're not coughing through this whole thing.
Sorry, you were speaking and I started coughing over you.
Yeah, there was obviously United Leeds. I thought Leeds did well getting back into the game and then sort of capitulated.
Leeds are like saying, well, crap, where Leeds are like, you know, coming out and attacking and they're not bothering defending. It's like watching children play football. And it's just like, I just don't understand how you're going to start. You will not start this season, that's for sure. You know, doing that type of football. No way, you're definitely going down. I'm hoping that Burnley... Not.
Leeds will stay up.
I'm hoping they...
Who do you think is going to go down this season?
Burnley, for sure.
Burnley, Brentford.
Waste of time. Brentford, I don't know, because it seemed like they had a little bit of fight about them. I don't know. As long as Burnley go down, that's all I care about.
Because we'll get rid of Burnley, that's it. Yeah, just want them
that's
out.
It. Burnley out. Norwich will go down as well.
Norwich will go down.
Yeah, I think Norwich will go. I don't think they'll stay up.
Yeah, because they've only got one decent player that I would say is I'm surprised he's playing for them as well. I forgot his name, the one with the blonde hair.
Which one?
Well, Norwich.
Yeah, him. Todd Campbell.
He's too good to play for them. You know,
he's got his exposure now in the Prem. He might get.
He should be going to Spurs or something like that. That's what Spurs are missing, that someone like him, to be able to carry the ball as well. And he's actually a decent finisher when he gets an opportunity. But yeah, those are the only games that stick out to my mind that I saw were I was really impressed with the West Ham Newcastle game. I thought that was quite exciting. But what sticks out in my head for this weekend is the refereeing. It's the best refereeing I've seen in many years. And it's made the games enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't that kind of you're on the edge, like, oh, what's going to happen? So that was,
yeah, like some of the stupid decisions that were given before, you know, fouls and penalties.
We should get more goals because of the offside rule, because we play on the edge.
It should make a difference. So,
Fernandez got his hat trick because of it. He wouldn't have got his hat trick last year.
Well, and that's what I mean. So, I think Man United fans have got to like kind of cool their heels again because of who you're playing against. So same way with us, like one's saying that we're going to win the league based on decision. But I would say we can say that because we've got pretty much the same team bar one person who's playing for us, you know, in that same squad who's won trophies, you know, back to back. So, you know, Chelsea seemed very strong to me. You know, they took Palace apart, but I haven't seen them again. Well, we will see them again. Who they got? They got Arsenal, haven't they?
I'm not sure who they've got this weekend, to be honest.
It's Arsenal, so Arsenal have got Chelsea in, and they've got City.
Yeah, there's a big clash this week. Yeah,
they could actually be having no points in the first three games.
Gosh, that's gonna be the kind of the car crash to watch this season. So there was also one other match on the weekend that was played behind closed doors, and that was the Liverpool and Aston Villa game, which was reported on. Suki, did you catch some of the news on that one? Because there was a bit of excitement around form and play.
Yeah, it's only based on sort of social media.
Obviously, they haven't shown any of the match. Yeah, it's just been little snippets that they've talked about.
We won 4-1. I don't know who the four goal scorers were. I know Nico Williams got an unbelievable goal.
I had them. I'll have a look.
But yeah, apparently Thiago was man of the match, which is great news. Right. I think he's going to be so good for us this season. I think last season people judged him and expected too much in an injury-stricken team. And I think he is somebody that's going to benefit from Fab and Hendo playing with him in midfield. I think he'll provide more attacking threat this season. So I'm excited for Thiago this season. Hendo, I think, had a really good game back. And I think the other players that played were the likes of Origi, Jones,
Cade Gordon.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get Hendo and Thiago back in the starting lineup pretty soon.
I mean, people think that Thiago's not a good fit for the team. And I feel like you know, he has got a point to be able to prove himself as well. Because remember, he was sub all during the Euros. So I think he wants to remind people, like, you know, who he is, really. You know, because...
Well, I'm interested to see how he gets on. Because, as you know, I've not been a big Thiago fan. So I'm hoping... Outrageous. That's not outrageous. I want to see something. I ain't just going on what he's done before. I want to see what he can do now. So it's true. So I'm hoping that that Thiago proves me wrong, actually, and shows me that, not with that, me personally, shows me personally.
Yeah, that's what he's going to come to the camera. He'll come to the camera soon. Susan, that's for you. That's for you. Don't worry, he's listening.
But probably using some different words.
Yeah, he'll come over, he'll slide over to the camera. That's for sure. When he scores a worldie, it'll be that'll be you
from Red or Dead.
Yeah, that's it. He'll slide over just to the I think he's got to prove a lot of things to people, but I think he had a very strong end to the last season. You know, but Hendo coming back is amazing. And I like the fact that we can actually get them back slowly. We don't have to rush people back.
Yeah, because we've got people, you know, just about got people in place now. So it's not that, you know, even thinking back to last season when we were trying to do our lineups and we're like, there's literally no one to pick. So at least we're not in that situation.
Whoever's walking past.
Yeah, we'll have him. And Tom and that's, John, who does the lawn. We'll have him. We'll do.
That's how we've got Ben Davis doing the tours.
Ben Davis is gone.
Yeah. Did you notice?
he's gone off to a championship side. I can't remember
Sheffield
who,
United.
Though.
Sheffield
Who's
United.
Who's he gone to?
Sheffield United.
Oh, Sheffield. Really? I didn't even remember.
That's one move that I just do not understand. I don't understand why
he
bought him.
It made no sense.
It made nothing no sense. Made sense. So it's like
we've
one of those like
buy. Let's buy him. He's available.
There's other people that they could have panicked and bought, and we would have finished in a better position.
There was a little bit of an interview with him before he left, and he was saying how amazing it was to come into Liverpool and basically train with them, and how much he's learned. So it's been like
we've got a fan. Yeah, it was almost like basically he's a paid fan.
He played once.
He came in and one of, like, you know, I would like that if I've got zero chance of playing.
Time. He had a great time.
He got to go on tour. He got to see the play. Like that, what he got was a money can't buy a tour of. You imagine that? Can you imagine, like, if you're a multi-millionaire and you said, look, you know, Liverpool, I'll give you this money, but I just need to just like kind of sign me as a player.
Hang out with you for six months.
Let me just hang out.
You've this amazing
he loved it.
Facility.
Can you imagine that? Like, that's why I salute him, because he got paid. And he didn't have to pay. He got paid for it. He got a wage.
More than what he's getting at Preston.
Much his wages. Yeah. Well, probably like 30, 40 grand on a week.
I don't think he cared whether he played or not. He was
I'll do for
the
free.
Time of his life.
What he got paid for, I would do for free. And literally, remotely, he was nowhere near going to play, and he still got in with the players. He got to play table tennis with Virg and Matip. And like, come on, man. He got to hang out.
It was like one of those premium experiences.
Right, that's gold level. That's a gold level. Like, you've got to know something.
Platinum level.
Like,
that's above and beyond.
I'll do that shit for free. I would pay for what he did. That's great. Well, salute to you, Ben Davis.
Maybe our signing is sitting right here. Send off Dre. We're done.
Exactly. If you really want to see FSG out, let that happen. I'm telling you,
that'd be hilarious.
I'm you know what? I'm secretly praying for them to be able to design some of these just so I can quieten down Suki and Cass, because like if we don't sign anyone and there's like they're like, well, we're gonna go with what we got.
we're all good.
Yeah, I'm kind of fearing evils. That they're going to be... You know what it is, right? I feel that, you know, like, this is why I think Daniel Levy loves transfers. I think he loves the whole, oh, you want to sign one of them? Right, here we go, gamesmanship. Here we go. And it's his personal thing. And I feel that it's the same thing with Michael Edwards now. He's like always looking, because he's got a track record of finding gems. It's like he wants to wait.
Searching.
Yeah, unless it's something that is not like someone's playing in the Shetley Islands or something like that. No, and he's going to find that person and say, you're the one. I feel that we've got to that stage now. He's not going to just buy someone obvious. He bought Jota.
He's looking for his diamond in the rough, isn't he?
Yeah.
PSG and their diamonds. Who's his?
Take away Verge. Verge was already like decent. Who is his best signing to you guys?
Salah. It's obviously Salah.
Yeah. It's a bit of an obvious
one. I left myself wide open with that, didn't I?
Do you want to say take away Alisson, Verge, and Salah?
No, I wouldn't take away the obvious people. Yes, and thank Davis, you. Thank you for the help, Suki. I think Genie.
Oh, gee, of course, I forgot. Oh, speaking of Genie, I see Suki shaking his head, but how do you think he's doing at PSG? He's having the time of his life as well. I mean,
yeah, he's the best decision so he made. Turning down Barcelona and PSG.
He's living his best life. He's having the great time. But
honestly, if you could, if he must have played like the lottery or something else, or got one of those Chinese or
he's
whatever
just things, every
the cats
picture,
that
just
do that
beaming.
Up and down, because that man,
the lucky cat,
he's got a lucky cat that goes up and the hand that goes up and down. He must have loads of them in his house, because for him to be able to turn down Barca, which I thought would you know, a very attractive proposition from a lifestyle point of view, to live there and play for that historic club.
As well as the Dutch manager.
And Messi comes to you. Like, and you live in Paris too. Come on now. Like, that's why I didn't understand why he's so angry when he left. Like, he wanted to do some tell-all. Like, mate, you're playing with Messi.
Let's talk a bit about that, actually, because we didn't cover this. So when he left, yeah, you were right. He was quite angry, and he said that the fans deserve to know the reasons why I left. So we're thinking, wow, this is going to be some big expose. FSG have done something terrible.
And he was nasty.
He fully left it on suspense
as well. So he warned us.
Yeah,
three
was
Euros.
Like, when's Genie going to speak? When's he going to say? When's he going
to
let it out?
I think the fans deserve to know. And you know,
and
what?
Then he went
it's
to PSG
lot.
And he's posing. And then he goes, "Oh yeah, the fans, the Liverpool fans, said I wasn't
Suki
doing
in particular,
very well."
Suki and Ellie, in particular, ungrateful. Those
but
two.
Do you know what was worse?
That's what you
I don't know, but do you know what was worse about what Genie said? Because I was annoyed with Genie, and I'm a big, big Genie fan. He blamed the fans, and then he said, but he does know that he wasn't performing. So it was like, so what? So they were critiquing you and saying you need to do better, and you knew you needed to do better, but you didn't like it. And then a few
Listen,
days before he came out with this,
had,
season,
he was the only
so
man playing. It was like, that's literally, he was like,
what
you
he
are
said,
ungrateful.
Actually made it sound like the other players were crap, because he was saying that I stayed fit and I worked hard to stay fit. All right, I'm sure Virgil appreciates that and all the others. Thanks, mate.
Virgil should have scored. He should have took Pickford out. That's
crap,
what he should have done.
I stayed fit.
Listen, I think all the anger went away as soon as he realised that Messi's joining in. I heard him talk about one bad thing, not even one. Like, I'm sorry, like, come on now. I watched that game, the first game with that team, and then they were like flipping just all over this. Were they playing Bordeaux? Yeah, I think
no
so.
One cares who PSG plays.
I can't remember who they're
playing.
Cares.
We're
playing Bordeaux.
We just watch PSG.
Yeah, it's like when you watch the Harlem Globetrotters. It's like you don't even know who they're playing against. It's like the Washington Generals. And literally, they looked on the side in the stands with the players just waiting to get fit. Then you had Ramos, you had Messi sitting next to Neymar.
Laugh at a joke.
The other midfielder, like, geez, I was like, this team, there's no excuse for them not to win the Champions League.
Well, exactly, but you see, that's where there's going to be a lot of pressure on them as well. So they can't fail. They can't fail at anything. They've got to win everything. They've got to wipe the board.
You're the same thing as us.
Good luck to them. Good luck, Jeannie. We wish you well.
Oh, look at you.
Will Jeannie get in?
What do you mean?
He's played. He played. How many matches have they played now?
Say he wouldn't get in their team.
Yeah.
How did he get in their team? You hate him.
But when you've got the likes of Messi, Ramos. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens once
starting.
They're all playing. But
yeah. You know, hold on a second. He's going to play. Suki's just kicking this man, even no matter where he goes.
No, look, contrary to popular belief, I liked Jeannie at Liverpool. I just think he had a horrendous last season and shouldn't have played the amount of games he played. And I agree that some of the games he played is probably because he is the only one fit. And actually, we do need to thank him because he was actually available for us compared to other players. But he was not good enough the last season. But I genuinely do wish him well at Paris. But if I was looking at the Paris squad, would he be in my starting lineup? I'm not sure he would, to be honest. They've got some unbelievable talent.
I mean, did you watch the first PSG game?
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
I mean, he didn't stand out as doing anything spectacular. He was very much Jeannie. Jeannie gets on with it, doesn't he?
To be fair, Jeannie, I've always said Jeannie's been great for Netherlands. That was my issue, that he played so well for Netherlands and he didn't Liverpool. And he did even when he was playing poorly for Liverpool.
I think that's what was annoying. And I think we even talked about it on here. It was quite frustrating to see him playing really well. Literally,
he
like
got goals. He
the
got
same
goals.
Week. As exactly.
It was interesting to see when players sign for another club and then the little rhythm that they're used to of getting the ball in certain places and the ball doesn't come back to them. So he gave the ball to Mbappe thinking that he's going to get the ball back.
Bye.
I can see that you're not getting that ball back, but he made a run that he would make if he gave it to Mane or someone.
Yeah.
And then Mbappe was like, no, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through all the players. Like, it was quite interesting to see, you know, him try to do one twos and things like that. So he spent a lot of time running around without the ball, but
I do miss Jeannie's face.
He's got up his game, though, to be amongst all of them. Sorry,
I do miss Jeannie's face just being amongst the Liverpool players, though, just because he was always so smiley and happy all the time.
He's lovely. You can't deny that.
I'm happy that Ox is getting an opportunity instead, because I think that Ox has to perform
the same
season.
What Suki's getting at is it's not the same.
Listen, I know you are against Ox. But Leader Ox,
you're
trying to make out like he's a mascot, and he's not.
Have you seen Jeannie's modelling things over in Paris at the moment?
No, what's he doing?
It's not the same.
He's killing Instagram.
Exactly, he's like all over it. It's not you. Look at your face; it's bad to have a look.
What's he doing?
I've got a few saved. I'll send you some of the pictures.
Maria posted something today.
Did she?
Yeah.
On my story.
I think
Ox could quite slot into that. There was just mucking around.
Oh, he's doing the most. He posts a lot, but he always did used to post a lot. But mate, he's living in Paris. Like, he's living the life. He's
absolutely living the life. No, I'll send you one in a second. Keep talking and I'll send you one, a picture that I particularly like.
Yeah, he's living the life. He's literally, like, I'm seeing in his stories that he's like living the life. I saw that he's walking around in Paris. Like, just enjoying his life. You know,
he was asking people for tips, where to go.
Oh, man, come on. Like, you know what I like about Jeannie is that you're actually experiencing what it's like to be able to play in Paris through him. You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't take it for granted. He's at that age of that, like, wow, this is his, like, last move. And he's
kind
just
of in awe
like,
of
so,
it, and that's quite nice, I think.
Yeah, he's so excited. Because remember, you're... And this is what I always say when we're talking about, oh, that player, like if you're talking about, what's his name, Haaland coming here, he has to choose not just the best team, he has to, like, if he's going to go to City, you have to choose to live in Manchester over Paris, over Barcelona, over Madrid. And I'm sorry, those three cities are way better to live in, you know, for a young man. So I'm sorry, like, I don't think it was just down to that. I think that, you know, the where you're going to live makes a massive difference. Except for if you're going to live in Liverpool. Like, there's not much difference between Liverpool and Paris.
That's the same. I mean, these pictures particularly caught my eye that I've just
I see what's going on here. Oh my god.
Stuff like that before I went to Paris. I don't remember seeing pictures like that.
Well, he ain't gonna do that in the Mersey, is he?
Those are some awful swim shorts.
TV across the Mersey.
Isn't it? Yeah, like, you've got to spend majority of the time with a coat on. Like, you know, bloody cold up there. So even though I do love Liverpool, living in Paris.
It's a lovely place.
Come on, mate. Come on. Even the hardest Liverpool Scouser fan knows that, Paris or Barcelona or Madrid compared to Liverpool as a city. Come on now. So I think he's quite happy to get out of there, you know. But I love Liverpool and I would live there if I could.
good save, Ray.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Before people stone me when I got there.
Do that.
Yeah, maybe. Yes, overcorridon by far. By far.
So, Saturday, let's move on to the match coming up. We've got Burnley at home. Let's go to Suki with your let's go for lineups actually first.
I think he'll stick with Virgin Matip. Obviously Tsimikas and Trent as well. I think he's going to start Bobby this time with Salah and Mane. And I think midfield he will go for Fabinho. I think he'll go for Hendo. And I think
I like the way you're doing this.
Yeah. I think he'll probably go for Keita over Thiago, I reckon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
To start.
Right. Okay. I think he'll be same defense as before. I think he'll start Fab instead of Milner. I think it'll be the same to Keita and Ox. And I think probably he's going to keep it the same, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to change it, because at the end of the day, Jota did score. So, you know, I don't think he played badly. I just think that he was, you know, the game tailed off and I think he needed some fresh legs on there. So I think that Jota will play again, start again. So I think it will be the same, except for, you know, Thiago will play. And then you'll get a better Ox this game.
Yeah, I think I agree with Trey, actually. I can't see it switching up too much. Not against Burnley, anyway.
No. It's because Hendo and Thiago have only just come back. So Fabinho will definitely start instead of I would say I don't think he's going to rinse out. I feel that, you know, there are, luckily we've got a good run of games that are easier for us, that ones that we should actually win. So I feel that
save others.
You can save players, yeah. Not to be disrespectful to them, but I think the next game is, was it Chelsea? After this.
The third one, it is.
Yeah, so I think that then by that point you'd arrested and got the other players back. So you can actually start a harder midfield and we'll be able to see where we're at.
Okay. And then predictions?
I'm going to go 3-0.
Mm-hmm. Right, this
I will go with the same, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say 3-0 as well.
I'm going to go with the same. I definitely think we'll be scoring 100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I see this as it should be a fairly straightforward fixture, I think. And with the fans there, I think it's going to make all the difference. It should be a really good, solid game.
Yeah, probably 2-0 before halftime, I would say, because we'll come out the block flying and then things will kind of level themselves out in the second half. But actually, I'm going to go one better, 4-0 again. I'm going 4-0.
Oh. I'm going to stick with my 3-0. I'm going to stick with 3-0. Dre, not Dre, Sicky, you recording these for your for the?
I am. We need to get Ellie's and Cass's at some point before the game.
Yeah, we'll get them. We should try and get them before the podcast next time, so we've got them all ready. But yeah, we'll grab those and we'll stick them up. We've got them recorded on there as well.
I reckon Cass will go 2-0. That's my prediction. I reckon Ellie will go 4-0.
Yeah, Ellie will be away 4-0.
Like 7-0 or something. 8-0, why not?
The team don't turn up.
Excellent. Okay, so thank you so much for tonight and everyone's contributions. I don't know why I said that quite so formally.
I know.
Thank you, Dre.
No, sorry, it's meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Has everyone got the actions for going forward? I'll email the minutes after the podcast. Thanks, everyone. And we look forward to next week, where we hopefully be discussing a solid win against Burnley. Thank you very much. Bye.